So what's the big problem with wealth creation? How do people like us, who didn't inherit a boatload of money, who are investing and building wealth from our own blood, sweat, and tears, how do we invest in a way that gives us remarkable results and become financially free before retirement age? I don't know about you, but I am sick of hearing from wealth gurus and experts who don't walk their own talk and prescribe strategies that are a one-size-fits-all approach. For self-made people like you and me, I'm here to tell you that you don't need to be superhuman or already wealthy to reach financial freedom earlier than 65. This is the Alternative Investing Podcast. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. It's really awesome to have you tuning in. Today's a really important topic, and what I really want to unpack in as much detail as I can is this question around, do you actually have a proven model for building wealth during uncertainty? I think everyone can talk about being a genius, as they have done over the last couple of years in a bull market. But when you enter a period of uncertainty, or as we're experiencing right now, there's high volatility, the question you have to ask yourself is, does the model that you're adopting for wealth building, does it actually work? So legendary investor Warren Buffett has become famous for saying, only when the tide goes out do you discover who's been swimming naked. And it's such a fabulous metaphor. But, you know, over the last couple of years, and I have talked about this in other podcasts, there have been too many people congratulating themselves on having made great investment decisions, and only to find now that they've put themselves in a precarious position, either because the assets that they've chosen didn't have good fundamentals, or that they've over-leveraged, or that there's been a pullback in the market that they can no longer actually afford. So right now, the news is riddled with doomsday headlines. There's a lot of talk about mortgage stress, financial distress, rising interest rates, skills shortages, supply chain issues, inflation, increasing government debt, threatening wars. The list goes on and on. And the media are a very talented circus when it comes to perpetuating those doomsday headlines. But now, more than any other time in your life, you need to be really aware of your actions. Financially, the model that you adopt to build and preserve your wealth has to be proven. Frankly, I feel that the attitude that you have to be adopting right now is that you cannot afford to make any big mistakes. And I need to kind of say the other end of the spectrum, which is putting your head in the sand doesn't work either. So if those two things are true, I want to really kind of pull apart some ideas on, you know, what you should be thinking about, and certainly what I'm thinking about right now. I think in a bull market, there have been a number of studies that have been done over the last 50 odd years, which show that investors incorrectly attribute trading success, aka luck, to their own abilities, and therefore tend to be more overconfident than they are, or than they should be in a bear market. And consistent with that argument, in bull markets, there are a lot of investors exhibiting more confidence indicated by the extent of, you know, excessive trading and things like that. So there are two kind of, I would say, case studies, if you like, that come to mind that I want to share with you. One is of a high income earner who decided late in their life to actually start diverting some of their premium income into investing, and decided to start buying up real estate in a really big way during 2000 and 2022. Unfortunately, this person, you know, although they felt they bought well, they're now having servicing difficulties. They are saddled with huge cash flow burdens around these rising interest rates having caused, you know, a greater negative cash flow. And frankly, the prospects for the next 2 to 3 years look quite grim. The second case study is another high income earner, also late to investing. And when I say that, they'd certainly thought about investing earlier, had a token attempt at accumulating some assets, but lost interest. This person is a prolific lifestyle spender. Started to allocate, again, during the COVID period, about $10,000 a week to share trading, and kept allocating money to a broker who would accumulate shares for them. Kept congratulating himself that he had nailed the wealth building piece. He didn't want to be involved in any proactive investing decision, had no desire to be in control of decision making. And unfortunately, without really understanding the strategy of the share broker, has ended up in a situation where a lot of the capital has been eroded and they're in a situation now where they're definitely behind the eight ball. So two different scenarios there. One was of someone investing heavily in property during a bull run, and the other one doing the same in the share market. Now, I think why I'm sharing those case studies with you is I think that they're fairly typical of what a lot of people felt over the last couple of years. Prior to, I would say, the beginning of this year, there was very little evidence of inflation. Obviously, supply chain issues were causing price rises, but people weren't that phased by it, or not enough anyway to change their investing behaviors. And now there are a very large cohort of investors who maybe made a lot of money over the last couple of years and are slowly starting to hand it back. And for some of those investors, it comes at a time in their lives where they genuinely cannot afford to be doing that. Now, I don't care what stage of investing you're at. My personal belief is that as long as you've got a sound model, should never be going backwards. You know, preservation of capital is really, really important. And that doesn't mean to say you can't have losses. You know, everyone's going to get some cuts and bruises along the way. But at a point in time where there is such enormous uncertainty and some pretty big world events taking place, now more than ever, it's really important that you've got a model for building wealth that's going to carry you not just through bull markets, but also through volatility, through bear markets, and through maybe markets that, best case scenario, end up moving sideways. So I want to tell you a little bit about my own story. You know, when I first started out as an investor, I probably was very similar to the case studies that I've just described. You know, I spent a good period of time trading shares and just found that far too hair-raising, and just really didn't like, number one, the use of leverage in the share market just didn't appeal to me at all. And number two, I just couldn't wrap my head around the lack of control and the fact that sentiment really drove those markets. I just didn't like that at all. You know, the argument of, you know, investing over the long term is probably valid for some people, but for me, I wanted a higher degree of control and I wanted a more manageable or risk adjusted approach to the use of leverage. And I couldn't get that with share market. So I've always been passionate about property. And when I first started out, I was looking for investments or deals in property, real estate that I could, number one, that I could afford, number two, that weren't going to put me in a situation where I had a house of cards. I know one of the models that is talked about often in real estate investing is the idea of get a little bit of growth, refinance, go again, get a little bit of growth, refinance and go again. And intuitively, I intellectually understood that model, but my husband and I were very conscious of the dangers of that model too, particularly if the market were to turn. So that's not been one that I've necessarily embraced. And the flip side to that is obviously that's put a heavy burden on diverting income from, you know, our active income into investing when other people probably weren't working quite as hard. I also was very conscious of only doing deals where I could afford to carry the cost of holding those deals. And obviously, I was looking for deals where I had the highest probability of delivering growth over the medium term. Now, this model is where most people should be starting. When you first start out, you need to look at opportunities to grow your wealth using assets that are most likely going to deliver you exponential capital over the medium to long term. Now, the other thing I would say about this model is it's exhausting. And when you start to really look deeply at the level of cash flow that's generated from this model, it's pretty depressing. You have to hold real estate for a really solid period of time. And I'm talking, you know, 25 to 35 5 years before it will deliver any meaningful kind of cash flow. Now, I realize there are always exceptions to this, and certainly there are people out there touting commercial as one get around to this model. And I think that that comes with its own bag of snakes. But I found the whole period of capital building exhausting. And it wasn't really exhausting from any other sense than there was just so much that you had to do to stay active in your decision making, constant monitoring, constant studying of the markets. And it wasn't until I found alternative investments. So alternative investments backed by real property, not just alternative investments in the fly-by-night type stuff, that I started to realize that I was developing much greater immunity to volatility. And, you know, I want to kind of go through what I think of as my model for building wealth, because there's a few things that I'm very clear about. One is that it is a proven model. This is not just a hypothesis anymore. I've been surrounded by and have become great friends with people who've been doing this model for decades. They are people who are completely financially independent, do not particularly care which way the market moves, and certainly have access to A-grade deal flow that will sustain them not only for the rest of their lives, but for generations to come. So my model is this. My model is that I have spent enough time building wealth through traditional means, and I have a portfolio of traditional assets, predominantly property, that give me a good fallback position. So it's not that I've given up on traditional real estate or traditional property. That's there, but it's kind of like my plan C in terms of safety net. I'm now putting all of my surplus capital and cash into alternative investments backed by real property. Now, if this is the first podcast that you're listening to, I highly encourage you go back and explore what I talk about and what I mean when I say alternative real estate, because I know that it conjures up all sorts of, you know, scary ideas, but these are low risk, very boring bread and butter deals, but they deliver me consistent returns that will outperform the market more than any other asset class. And that, you know, rather than me being out there looking for those one-off killer deals, I don't have to do that anymore. I can put small amounts of capital into many diverse and you know, both geographically, liquidity-wise, deal-maker-wise, lots of different deals in order to get a very solid outcome. So, you know, my model requires me to invest in diversified deals that deliver that strong, predictable cash flow. And I am looking for better protection than almost any other asset class during this uncertainty and volatility. My model also requires that I only work with deal operators who've been through multiple market cycles and who know how to assess risk, who know how to create multiple exit strategies with good downside protection, and who have a track record of producing solid returns even in a market that is not rising. So when it comes to wealth building in the current environment, I'm not stressed about the volatility as far as impact on my returns. My traditional assets have a huge equity cushion, and my alternative investments are diverse and structured in a way that the risk-adjusted return is still far beyond what most investors could even hope for in a bull market. So really, you know, in this particular podcast, what I'm really encouraging you to consider is, do you have a proven model? You know, I can say hand on heart, I am part of a cohort of people who've thought long and deeply about what, you know, what style and model of investing is going to serve me and my family over the long term. So the question you need to ask yourself is, do you? And if you do not, what do you need to do to kind of reposition yourself so that over the next 3 to 5 years, while this tsunami sorts itself out, you can put yourself in a position where you have the highest probability of success? Guys, I know there's a lot that I've talked about here today. I'd certainly welcome any questions or deep dives that you want me to do on any of the concepts that I've spoken about. I have spoken about a lot of these in past podcasts, but I really feel genuinely that now more than any other time is the time to be thinking about the long game. So guys, till next time, take care, stay safe, and I will catch you on the next episode.
You've been listening to the Alternative Investing Podcast. If you're feeling frustrated that despite doing everything right in the property investing playbook and you're no closer to financial freedom, then head on over to IncosiWealth.com to learn more about how you can use alternative investments to catapult your investing income and blend strategies to shave decades off your timeline to financial freedom. See you on the next episode.